Well, I'm glad when Jesus reached down, He reached way down for me. I'm glad, Brother Gerald, that when He went down to the bottom, and we thought we was on the bottom, somebody went down lower than we went and got us up out of the bottom and brought us to the top. Thank God for Jesus this morning. Thank God He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I'm glad I know Him as my Savior this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, be finding Jeremiah chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're here, say amen. Amen. It says that Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 1. It said, "The Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Yes. Thank God when you get to the potter's house, you can hear the words of the Lord. You'll never hear the words of the Lord until you do what it says there in verse number 2. It says, "Arise and go." You see, a lot of times we want God to do His part, but we don't do our part. You see, He told Jeremiah to go down there and get a word for him, but Jeremiah had to do something himself. Jeremiah had to rise and go. A lot of times we're complacent in our own self that where God tells us what to do, we don't do what He says, and therefore we don't hear the words of the Lord like we ought to. Verse number 3, it says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Jeremiah here was going to get an object lesson from the Lord here. He was supposed to rise up and go down to the potter's house, and the Lord would give him a word. He had been preaching over in chapter number 17, and Jeremiah was a street preacher. Jeremiah wasn't waiting for a church building. He wasn't waiting for all the crowd. He wasn't waiting for all the people. He was just going to preach. The Lord said, "You remember what it said over in Jeremiah chapter number 1? He said, "But when you was in before you was in the womb, I known you." He said, "Before you was even born, I knew you. Before you was even conceived, I knew you. And He knew you before the foundation of the world." I want you to know this morning, God knew you before you was even born. Brother Wayne, every little baby, before they're even born, God knows them. He knows their name. He knows what they'll do. God knows the ending before the beginning ever gets cranked up. A lot of times we don't understand that and we can't fathom that, but God in His mind, He can. And He knows everything. Jeremiah was to preach. You'll find him over in chapter 17. He was supposed to go to the gates of the city and to preach the Word of God. And you know what his message was? Keep the Sabbath holy. The same message that we ought to be preaching today. Keep the Sabbath holy. We know that God, and when He gave us the Ten Commandments, it says keep the Sabbath holy. And it says 6 days we ought to work, and on the seventh day we ought to rest as God rested in the creation. It said there in 17:23, it said, "But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, and made their neck stiff, that they may not hear, nor receive instruction." And it sounds like this message that Jeremiah was preaching back then to the house of Israel and to the people passing in and out of the gates of Jerusalem is the same message that is prevalent in our day that we could preach to America. You see, it was very applicable to them back in those days. They began to do things on the Sabbath and forget God. Much like today, when you come to church, you pass people on their way to the lake. You pass people on the way to the ball games. You pass people on the way not having given God a thought. But I tell you, God says we ought to keep the Sabbath holy. Any Baptist preacher worth his weight, he'll quote you Hebrews 10:25 and say you ought to be in church. Jeremiah was preaching that message. Jeremiah saw destruction. He saw Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. God was going to destroy that city. And he was preaching against it because God had sent him a word. And God had given him love towards those people to preach that word. But we come up in the verse number at chapter number 18, we find that not only is Jeremiah trying to get a word for the house of Israel, he's going to get a word from himself. You see, he got instructions to go down to the potter's house. And there he would watch the potter, and he'd watch the potter make the clay. And he'd sit there and observe that potter and look at that potter. And he'd watch that clay in his hand. And I've entitled this morning's message, or this Sunday school lesson, The Potter's House. The first thing I want you to see it down at the potter's house, you'll see the potter's hand on the wheel. The potter's hand on the wheel. Jeremiah arrives down at the potter's house because he arose and went. And as he washed that potter, he washed that potter put on his different clothes. And he was going to wash that potter work that work that only he could work on those wheels. And as his hand would touch that clay, you see, there is a process in the clay that even every Christian in here is going to go through. And if I looked up and I found all the processes on how to make pottery, I didn't know nothing about how to make pottery. I never made any, but I can look in that process of making pottery, and it's just like the life of a Christian, of how God can take us as a piece of clay. We was formed from the dust of the earth, and to make us into a beautiful vessel as our life progresses on. The first thing I want you to know at the potter's hand of the wheel, as Jeremiah looked on, he saw the materials that the potter was using. Look in verse number 3. He said, I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. There were some materials there. There was some clay, and there was a wheel. In the first process of how to make a pottery, is you'll find the first process is called pugging. And in that pugging process, it's the process in which the clay is stirred and packed. You see that as a potter receives that clay from somebody that's going to ship it to him. See, that clay can't be dry. It can't be dusty. It can't be something that when he opens the package that it just falls apart and crumbles in his hand. It has to be carefully packed. And it has to be the perfect consistency. And not only that, it has to be the perfect dampness within it so that it's not dry and it's not going to just crumble to pieces when he opens it up. The materials of the potter. The second process in that is not only pugging, you'll see wedging. That wedging process allows the potter by hand to make the clay the correct consistency and remove any air bubbles that the pugging process didn't get. And each one of us, I can remember in my life before I got saved, God began to mold the clay even before I knew Him. He knew me. And as He began to form that clay and as He began to look at that clay, you know, and it began to get it at the right temperature, the right consistency. And he'd take his hands and he'd place it on you to bring you to him. Each one of you here today is molded by life's events. Each event that you go through in this life is molding you into the person that you are today. Also, it's also molding you into the Christian that you are today. I can look back in my life and see event after event that God has placed me in and He's taken me through. And even though I couldn't see His hand in that event then, I can see it now as I look back. A lot of you may be facing things today and the potter's working a great work on the wheels and in your life, and you may not see that potter doing that. But I'm going to tell you, years from now, you'll look back and say it was God. You see, the events in life mold us, and they make us into what we are today. And the Christian that you are today is because of the events God has brought you into, and He's molding you up to be conformed to the image of His Son. You'll see there the materials of the potter. Not only did he have a wheel, he had some clay. And I tell you this morning, never forget that all you are is clay. We're nothing but clay. If you were to take your skin and knock it and dust fall on the ground, that's the same thing that God said He did over in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, when He said He formed you from the dust of the ground and He breathed into your nostrils and man became a living soul. The materials of the potter. Not only you'll see the materials of the potter, you'll see the molding of the potter. You see, God formed us in His likeness and He made us after His own image. And God wants us to, the events that you're going through today, or the events you've been through, He's taking you through those events so you could be like His Son. The molding of the potter. When you get out of bounds with God, you get out of steps with God, the next process in making pottery is called centering. This is what centering is. Once the clay has been pugged and wedged, it is centered on the wheel. This is a very critical step. You see, in this step, it's because it's the foundation of the pot. And the pot is only as true and as strong as it is in the center. You see, as that potter lays that, has that wheel, and he begins to lay that clay on that wheel, he places it exactly in the center. And I began to think about that in my life. You know, a lot of times God places us in the center of it, and a lot of times we want to move out to the edge. And if you go back to this process, the more you get away from the center, the weaker the potter becomes, the vessel becomes, the weaker the clay becomes. It begins to become lopsided and becomes to get out of center. And I'll tell you what the potter has to do. He has to take that and apply more pressure to that side or that knock that thing off. And he begins to do that to get us back into the center. A lot of times I've got my life in trouble because I got outside of the center and I can become weak and didn't even know it is the thing. The molding of the potter. The psalmist David said in Psalm 139, verse number 3, he said, "Thou compasseth my path, thou art acquainted with all my ways." And a lot of times I thought about that. I call Psalm chapter 139. I challenge you to read it after, you know, when you have your own time. Psalm chapter 139, I call it the He Knows Me Psalm. He knows me. See, in that psalm is where it says that that thou knowest my uprisings and my down sittings. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. God knows you. I'm here this morning to tell you God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what pressure to apply in your life to get you back in the center. See, a lot of Christians today are getting outside of His will because they're not centered in that will. And they become weak. And God doesn't like that. He wants us to be strong. The molding of the potter. And He knows what we're made out of. Let me tell you this. God knows that He created you from the dust and that's all you are. He remembers that you're flesh. A lot of times we try to say we don't have issues. If you don't have any issues, raise your hand. You know why you needed a Savior? Because you had issues. A lot of times we come to church and we try to think, hey, we don't have any issues, and we become professionals. We try to hide stuff. We become professional actors. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I go through issues just like you do. Jeremiah here was going through an issue. He needed a word from the Lord. The people of God was rejecting him and going in and out of the city like it wasn't anything. And God was going to teach Jeremiah by watching that potter to how to be molded into God's image and to His Son. The molding of the potter. The mission of the potter was to be conformed to the image of His Son. You'll see the potter's hand on the wheel. Secondly, you'll see the potter's heart in his work. Look down in verse number 4. It says, "And the vessel he made of clay was marred, and the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Let me tell you something. God's heart, it is always in His Word. A lot of times we'd like to think God doesn't know us. He's nowhere around us. And I'm going to tell you, you're the apple of His eye. He's looking down on you this morning. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly where you were yesterday. He knows exactly where you'll be today. And He'll know where you are tomorrow. A lot of times we think God is somebody on the throne. He don't have time to deal with us. But I'm telling you, He knows it's all about you. When you was up this morning and you cut your head off that pillow, God knew exactly where you was because you was His heart. You're on His heart. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 49 and verse number 16 says this. It says, "Behold, I've graven thee on the palms of thy hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Continually before me. And I began to think about that. A lot of times we sing that song when we was a kid. He's got the whole world in His hands. But the Bible said and I began to think about this, and y'all think about this too as I say this. Think of this little knob right here as the world in His hands. But the Bible said He also could see your names because it was graven in the palm of His hands. The world's small enough that He can see it, but He also can see your own name sitting there in the palms of His hands. And my son last night, he got up and he had on his necklace that my parents had given him for playing baseball. And on the back of it, it was engraven in there and it had his name. Why would you engrave something? In Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 16, when he said, "Behold, I've graven thee on the palms of my hands." You know what? The church, it says this in verse 13 through 16 there. It said, "But Zion said, thou hast forgotten me." Who is Zion? Zion is the church. Zion is the city of God. It's God's people. And Zion had cried out and said, "Thou hast forgotten me." And God said this in verse 15. He said, "As thou was a suckling child, I haven't forgot thee. As a mother wouldn't forget her child, I hadn't forgot thee. And he said, I've graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Let me tell you, the potter's heart is always in his word. The first thing I want you to note is the response of the potter. As he looked down, Jeremiah was looking on, and he sees this potter making this great vessel. And he looks down, and it says in verse number 4, he said, made a vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You'll see the potter's response. The potter knew that that vessel was marred. That pot, that vessel there that he was making was figuratively the house of Israel, the nation of Israel. And God was making that vessel, and he was making it, and his heart was in it, and he was making it as what he wanted it to be. But he looked down in it, and he said there was something wrong. And that word marred meant it was defected. It was imperfect. It was ruined in the potter's hand. The potter had a response. Not only did he have a response, you'll see he reconstructed it. Look down in the second part of that verse. It says, so he made it again, another vessel. Let me tell you, God's reconstructing Israel today. He's reconstructing. He's building his church. When I say Israel, I mean his church. And each one of us, God is ringing a work, and his heart is in it. And he's bringing us up into his son. And his heart is in his work. And he's reconstructing us. See, when we couldn't get, like Brother Gerald saying this morning, you know, when we couldn't reach down, he reached further down than we could reach up. You know what he did when we reached up? He started reconstructing us. And the Bible says when you got saved, you became a new creature. And I'm going to tell you what you are. You're being reconstructed to be conformed to the image of his son. Reconstruction of the potter. He made it again, another vessel. Not only you'll see the response to reconstruction, you'll see the reviewing. It said in the last part of that verse, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And I wrote this down. Praise God, he didn't throw the clay away. And I've been to think about all the projects that I've worked on in my life and the things that I've done in my own life, you know, and how I began to do something and I'd mess up. And a lot of times I just take something and I just throw it away. Yes. There's been many of projects I've done that. I remember one time I started on an old car, and I said, I'm going to do it right. And I started buying all this stuff to build this car back up. I bought the paint. I bought the emblems. I mean, I bought it. If it had a piece of rust on the chrome, I said, man, we can't have that. We got to have a shiny piece of chrome. It didn't matter the expense. And you know what? I bought all this stuff, and I watched that car just fade away. And I never did finish it. And I ended up selling. This guy, I was glad to see it get gone. I didn't spend thousands of dollars into a car, and they ended up giving me probably pennies on the dollar back. A lot of times we do that same stuff in our life. You know, and God, praise God, he didn't throw the clay away. So you are important to him. And he could have just took that clay and said, hey, I can't do anything with it, and just throw it away. But I tell you what he did. He said, I can do something with that. And each one of you here this morning, I want you to know God can use you. You may not be up preaching, you may not be up teaching, but I tell you, God's using you in your own life. And people on the outside are watching you. And he's watching that reconstruction process. And a lot of them out there would love to say, he's going to fall. They said the same thing to me. They said, he'll fall. He'll be out of it. And I began to think about it today. What's the true life of a Christian? Somebody says they're saved. What's the greatest evidence of that? I began to think about that. In my own life, I said, what's the greatest evidence that somebody got saved? I said, you take 15 years down the road, you see somebody get saved, and you come back to that church, and they're serving God faithfully after 15 years. I'd say there's some evidence. You see, a lot of times we shout the glory down, we shout victory, you know, and somebody gets saved, and we think that, and God does different works in different people's lives. I can tell you that. A lot of times people ask me, say, why do you go to church so much? I tell you, I need a lot of work in my own life. I can just tell you that. I can't speak for you. I got to speak for myself. I got a lot of work that needs to be done inside this old vessel right here. I need the most. You can't tell me you can go to church too much. Praise God, he didn't throw the clay away. God's plan always has provision. The potter's heart and his word. Not only you'll see the potter's heart and his word, you'll see the potter's hope in his word. Look down in verse number 5. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. You know what he was telling Jeremiah there? He said, I can do anything. God sent him word and said, I can do anything. He said, I can take that pot, as that potter took that clay and he's building it up, he said, I can do with the house of Israel just like that potter did. I can make a vase, I can make a bowl, I can make a glass or a cup. He said, I can do the same thing with the house of Israel. I want you to know this. God created a perfect person there in the garden. He created Adam and Eve. How many believe He created Adam and Eve perfect? I believe He did. Now, the only thing, when I look at that, and He created those perfect beings, God gave those two perfect human beings a choice. And that choice would be this, whether they love Him. And God gave you a choice whether you would love Him. I began to think about this, you know, I got an 8-year-old boy, and I don't want him to love God just because I love God. I want him to make his own choice. You see, I can force somebody to try to make them love God. I can say, son, we're going to church. Son, get down and pray. Son, read your Bible. And I can force that on him. But that's not my intent. My intent is that he'd make his own choice to love God. We see that if he'll love God that way, you see, it won't fail. It won't fade away. You see, I've seen several people, you know, they trained somebody up and they thought they loved God. And as soon as they got out from underneath that hand, they turned their back and ran away. And I want my son, Jeremiah, was going to have to teach this. See, Adam and Eve had a choice in the garden of what they would do. They had a choice to whether they loved God out of their heart. You know, and we know all Eve was deceived. She partook of the fruit. And then Adam took the fruit, you know, and they both brought the fall of man. They began to bring that curse on man. The potter's hope in his word. Look what he told these people here in Jeremiah. First thing I want you to see, it was a message to return. Look down in verse number 11. It said, Therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I framed evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. He had a message to return. And that's if we had to preach a message to America today, the message would be to return back to God. This nation was founded on God. The church was founded on God. Return back. Not only did he have a message of return, he had a message of repentance. He said that, and it said, and make your ways and your doings good. He had a message of repentance. Not only that, he had a message of remembrance. In verse 15, he said, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their past from the ancient past, to walk in the past in a way not cast up. He said, remember God. If I had to tell you anything this morning, don't forget Him. You see, the blessings of life are never meant for us to drive us away from God. They're always meant to bring us to God. But a lot of times we get those blessings, and then all throughout the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Never forget Him. Remember Him. And hurriedly, I go along because I want to get to my last point. Not only did that, he preached a message of remembrance. Not only did they forget God and didn't remember, they began to reject Him. If you look down in verse number 12, it said, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imaginations of his evil heart. They began to reject the Lord. And let me tell you this, anytime you reject the Lord, there's always restitution involved. You see, sin doesn't go unpunished. And your sin always finds you out. A lot of times we think we're getting away with stuff, but I'm telling you, you may be getting away from things from the preacher. You may be getting away from things that your mom and daddy don't know about. You may be getting away with something your husband don't know about or your wife doesn't know about. But I'm going to tell you, God knows about it, and there's always a payment. He said that in the book of Numbers, beware lest your sin find you out. Don't ever forget that. You'll see the potter's hope in his word was to make them return, to make them repent, and to make them remember. But I want to leave you with this last point. You'll see not only the potter's hope in his word, you'll see the potter's honor in his workmanship. The potter's honor in his workmanship. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter number 20. I want you to see this. See, Jeremiah did what the Lord told him to. He went down to the potter's house. He received the message of the Lord. He went preaching. And you know what they did? Jeremiah said, I got me a message from the Lord, and it's a barn burner. Yeah. He said, if I preach this, everybody's going to get saved down there in that city. Right. He said, everybody's going to come to God if I preach this message. It came exactly from the Lord. You know, it was exactly what God had for that city. And Jeremiah said, surely God will use this message to bring the children back. And they'll no longer reject it, but they'll remember you, Lord. Let me tell you what happened to him. He went and preached that. And you know what they did? They laughed at him. They mocked him. And chapter number 19, just to summarize it, he goes to preach that city, and he goes to preach in the valley of Hemon. You know, and later on it'd be known as the valley of slaughter. So God was going to slay all those people there. And Jeremiah took that. He went, and God had told him in chapter 19, verse number 1, to go get a bottle from one of the potters. And he went to preach, and you know what he did? He broke that bottle. He just dropped it. And he said, that's what God's going to do to this nation. He's going to break it, and you're going to be pieces of clay scattered on the ground. And he preached that message, and when he came back up, you know what they did? There was a man there in chapter 20, verse number 1. It said his name was Pasher. He threw Jeremiah into prison. The Bible said he was put him in the stocks. Jeremiah said, Lord, you give me these messages and you give me to preach. And these, remember, these events is what's forming you. It's making you what you are today. He said, I've done exactly what you said you wanted me to do. But here I find myself in jail. I find myself cast down. I find myself being laughed at. Anybody ever felt that way? Look what happened to Jeremiah in chapter 20, in verse number 7. It says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, even one mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Let me tell you what happened to Jeremiah. He found out that there was honor in God's workmanship, in the potter's workmanship. You see, that message that he thought he was going to preach to the house of Israel, it became individual. It came down to his house. You see, he began to think, well, they reject you, Lord, and he got on his little pity party just like we do. And then he began to himself think, well, maybe I should reject the Lord. Maybe I'll just sit down here and I won't say no words anymore. I won't tell anybody about the Lord. I won't do the bidding that God has told me to do. But he's going to find out that that message was not so much for the house of Israel as it was for himself. You see, this thing is an individual thing. It's individual. Jeremiah now becomes the clay in the hand of the potter. You see, he wanted to picture that self. A lot of times we come to church and we look at it and the preacher preaches and says, man, that message was for that guy over there. I don't know about me. I'm doing pretty good. But I tell you that it's an individual thing. Not only is it individual, it's intentional. You see, there's an appointment God's going to put you through that you cannot pass. You are appointed to stuff in life that I can't help you with, the preacher can't help you with, that you're going to have to go through. And I tell you what people are going to look at. They're going to look at how you went through it. It's an intentional process. Not only is it intentional, it's indefinite. It's a lifelong process. It's lifelong. Paul said this over in Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself had to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before. I'm going to tell you what he said there. Paul was a man that could gloat. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. That word apprehended, do you know what it means? It means to obtain. See, Paul said, I ain't in heaven yet. I hadn't arrived. He said, I had a guy call me this week. He said, you're just a novice. We all know what a novice is, don't you? And I began to think about that. And he was making a point. We was in Bible college. He said, a guy, I was preaching, you know, and a guy come up to me and he said, you're just a young Christian. And in his mind, in his pride, he said, who is that man to call me that? A young Christian. And then he come up to me and he said, you're just a novice. And I began to think about it. I am a novice. See, it takes pride. It takes all your pride out to admit you're a novice. And Jeremiah here was going to have to go back down to the beginning. He's going to have to admit some stuff. And he's going to have to know that it was not only intentional and it was indefinite and it was a lifelong process. You see, in this process of making clay, you'll see the pugging, you'll see the wedging, you'll see the centering. And as they begin to center, you'll see there's another process called opening. And that's when they actually put that potter, that wheel begins to turn. And as it began to make that up, the opening process is a step that allows the potter's hand to begin pulling the center up, the clay vertically. And from the inside out, this is what actually makes the size of the vessel. And then you'll see it begins to grow. This is the process of molding and shaping the clay to the desired height and shape. Once the clay is at the desired height and shape, excess water is removed from the bowl with a sponge, which also smooths and contributes to the strength of the bowl. Not only you see that process, you'll see there's a process of trimming. You see, I don't know which process you're in today, but I guarantee you, you're in one of these processes. The next step is trimming. Once the bowl has been removed from the wheel, it is allowed to dry leather hard. And at this point, the bowl can be trimmed to remove the excess clay at the bottom to establish a foot. After the bowl is trimmed, it is placed into a controlled environment to allow to dry to prevent cracking. You see, each one of us is growing up into this vessel. And then in the last part, it says it's glazing and firing. You see, you can't get out of bounds of one of these processes. A lot of times we'd like to skip processes. We'd like to go straight from, hey, I was pugged, I was wedged, I was centered. Now I want to go straight to the glazing, and we want to shine out, and we want to shine forth. Jeremiah said he couldn't shine forth because he was ready to quit. He was ready to surrender. He was ready to give up. But he could not give up. Why? It said because his word. If you look down in chapter 20, verse number 9, it says why he didn't quit. He said he had a word. You see, his word became the strength. You want to know what's going to keep you from quitting? It's not going to be me telling you don't quit. There's been better men than me that told you not to quit. And I count myself as nothing. But I'm going to tell you what's going to keep you from quitting in your Christian life. It's his word. When his word, see, his word can sit on the shelf, and his word will never help you until it gets inside of you. Jeremiah said it was inside of him. It was down in his bones. The last process in making pottery is this. It's called glazing and firing. The pottery is then moved from the firing process. It's heated to remove any physical and chemical water. This will allow for the piece to be glazed without returning to mud or even breaking. The last phase is glazing. The potter places wax on the bottom and dips it into a glaze to give the piece a glazed coating. Then it's fired to allow the glaze to dry. See, some of you may be in here in this process. You may be further along than others. And some of you may just be starting out in this thing. And God's molding you into this perfect image of His Son. Romans 8 and 28 says this. It says, for we know all things work together for good for those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And verse number 29 says this. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, the firstborn among many brethren. That word predestinate, don't let it scare you. It doesn't mean He predestinated people to heaven or hell. You know what it means? Each one of you in your life, I tell you what God, the plan that He's got for you is to be predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, God wants us to grow up into Him. And He's looked at, and in this process, as that potter begins, each one of those vessels, He has a picture in mind. Don't think God didn't start in this thing, didn't have your end finished. Don't think He didn't know the end before the beginning, because He knew it, and He was forming that vessel into Him. So when you leave out of this world, guess what? You'll be like Him, like His Son. You see, down at the potter's house, God can only show you things that He can show once you arise and go. Jeremiah learned that the potter's hand at the wheel. He learned the potter's heart in his work. He learned the potter's hope in his word. Not only that, he learned the potter's honor in his workmanship. See, his last workmanship was to honor God. And that's all Jeremiah wanted, was God to use him.